Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Thinky Girl, the podcast.
Thinky Girl, the podcast, episode 11, as in 7-11. Ha ha. Oh.
What?
Oh, no. I don't know. It's just a bit delirious now. It's Stacey June with you. We're joined by Christy Mercer and Danny Pola. Hi, Biatches.
Hey.
Hi,
Biatches. What's up?
Hey, girls.
Hey.
We do this podcast.
Can I just do a quick headline? That Christy and I are on phone. So sometimes I talk over Christy a lot, but it's because I can't hear you, babe.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. It is a little bit, you guys, yeah, because we're all on the mobile, us two are. So, yeah, it is a bit tricky.
Yeah, Dan's having a bit of a complex about the levels and all that kind of stuff. But we do need to preface by saying this is as low budget as it could possibly be, and it's just for fun and... You kind of, if you want to listen, you just got to bear with it.
It's below budget. Yeah. It's not low budget.
We're in the minus, actually, to be honest with you.
But under the ground.
Yeah.
I've actually had to pay my my Optus bill in double because I'm doing this.
You have not. You've got issues with your phone, mate.
He calls us.
Yeah, exactly. Don't say that because no one needs to know that.
It's not true. I'm joking. It's not because of the podcast. I did have to pay my bill twice.
Oh, my God. Okay, anyway.
It's not because of the podcast. It's because I have no, like, I don't know how to deal with money.
Okay, so we, oh, my God. And that is not a gem we're doing this week. So we are all three chicks in radio. We met at a random boot camp. We have fucking met once or twice at max. And we just basically chew the fat about things that we can't talk about with our co-hosts or on our shows once a week, which brings us to episode 11. We bring a gem each. Girls, what do we got this week?
I want to talk about makeup. Quickly. Wearing makeup and not wearing makeup and a little bit of a personal journey I've been on recently. And, I'm just interested to see whether you guys, are kind of with me and whether it's, something that you've thought about as well.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Cool. Loves it. I want to talk about, I've noticed that I've been very cynical about having kids and I just want to, like, put it out there because, there's some changes happening, I think.
What do you mean? Are you having one?
You're pregnant.
I'm not pregnant and I'm not even close to it, but I feel like my heart's opening up again to the idea of having kids.
Okay, that's nice.
I think. Yeah. We'll discuss.
Okay, I had a conversation with a girlfriend about best friends when you were a kid and if that kind of obsession with your best friends, like I've had, keeps going through your life, if you kind of cling to it a bit. I want to bang on about that for a little bit, see what you guys think.
Nice. Okay.
All right, Dan, you go first. I want to hear about yours.
Yeah, I feel like starting this week actually. I've made mention of this in one of our podcasts before about how, I don't know, like in the last 2 years, I don't know where it came from. I don't know how it started. My viewpoint on having children really changed. Like, I guess I went from being very young and seeing it as, of course I'm going to have kids one day. I'm a woman. That's what women do. And I remember being in high school and having an argument with a girlfriend who didn't want to have kids and actually calling her selfish, going, how could you be so selfish to not want to mother something? Like, just these really crazy ideals. And now I've gotten to the point where I was thinking along the lines of, it's so selfish that people just simply want to have kids, whether they're ready to or not. I've had this view that... we need to be thinking about the kind of lives that we're going to give to kids rather than, oh, my God, my body clock is ticking. I need, I love, I. So I guess I've been a little bit negative about having kids.
Mm.
How long have you been negative about that for? A couple of years?
Probably about 2 years now. And to the point where I was like, I've been saying things to myself in my head like, you know what, maybe I'm never going to have kids, maybe I'll just have a bunch of dogs, or maybe I'm not meant to be a mum, and have even started thinking, like looking at different things that I do and go, oh gosh, you know, I would hate to pass that on to my child or whatever. Like I've got, as you girls know, I've got a little bit of some body image issues, and that's been my biggest fear as well, because I'm a big believer that if you don't deal with your issues, the probability of you passing it on to your kids is very high, and I would hate to pass that on to a daughter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In saying that, lately, I don't know. It's almost like my heart's opening up. Like every time I watch a movie or a TV show, like I watched that Drew Barrymore interview on Oprah, and I was just oh my God, I want to do things differently, you know, have kids and do things right. And then it's almost like a shocking, I don't know, it's weird.
Could it be the life situation 2 years ago, you know, because you're busting your chops, trying to, you know, climb a ladder and work your way up, you know, through an industry that, you know, that's sometimes quite tricky and when moving is involved and, you know, there's a lot of self-sacrifice involved. And maybe you feel like you're at a stage where you are or could be soon quite content in where you are, and maybe that's why your mind's opened up, because you think personally you could be happy or provide a child with a better environment to grow up in. Maybe it's just like where you're at the moment and what's going on.
I'm really interested in, and I think this might answer where my head's at. I'm actually really interested to get your views on kids and where you guys are at and how you view the whole becoming a mother thing.
Well, I've been really open about this on this podcast before, that I know I will be a mother. I am here to be a mother, and it is really important, just as important in my career, to be a mother. I have a fear that it may not happen, but then I kind of think anything I really want, I make happen. So I have a fear about maybe doing it on my own then, because I do almost know you know how you don't know everything 100%, but there are some things you really know. This feels like one of those. Like, having said that though, without comparing myself to Oprah Winfrey, she is so maternal and doesn't have any kids. So I then also worry if I'm mistaking that feeling of constantly being maternal, constantly wanting to be that, I guess, that kind of teachery maternal person into that relationship with children.
Is there any fear in that? Do you ever, you know, because you've got a very strong personality and obviously you've got this maternal thing and you've just used the word teacher. Do you ever think, God, what if I'm too much? What if I'm trying to teach
kids
too much and they want to rebel? Yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's just a your thing, because you can only be, God, my parents, I could seriously sit there and really judge the kinds of parents they are, or other parents and whatever. If you've got people that, you know, are raised with no money, or that you're an axe murderer and they come out okay, then my kids are going to be doing all right. Like, there's no point. No one is perfect. And every little soul has their own little story and their own little makeup. But in the end, they'll have their own little journey when they fly the coop as well. You know, like, I think it's all a part of it. I don't overthink it. I think that's a part of the bit that I am really excited to see what could become that relationship. And never if it's too much. I often think sometimes I wish my mum was more opinionated. Like, you know, so you never win. Like, it's with parents, there's always going to be imperfections.
Would you be, and this is a question for both of you, would you be disappointed if you never had kids?
I would.
Like, if you're 16, you look back and you go, I mean, and that opinion may well change depending on, you know, the way that your opinion changes, just like yours has quite recently, Danny. But from your standpoint now today, if you were 16 looking back and you didn't have children, would you be sad about that?
I would like to think no, because I'd like to think that I would have fed, like, my maternal needs or my need to be around children or to help someone or to I don't know. I would like to think that I would have fed that desire in different ways if that desire came into my life.
What about you?
Or if that desire was so strong, I just would do it. Like, I think if I got to 60 and I didn't have kids, I would imagine that it's because the desire didn't become so strong that I had to do it.
But what was the question, Chrissy?
Would you be sad if you were 60 and you look back and you didn't have kids? Would you be sad about it?
Well, I'm not 60, so I don't know. Yeah. But I guess as it currently stands today at 30, with where I would like to see my life progress, then yes, I would be, because that's something that I want to incorporate in there. Do I know what's going to happen in the next 20 years? Nah.
I guess, like, there's a lot more options these days, as you mentioned before, Stacey, in terms of, you know, we have you know, technology's come such a long way and that kind of thing, and women not only being able to have a career first and have children later in life, the ability to do that and be a working mom, etc., but also to actually just have and raise a child on your own, that's a common thing now.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, that if you don't meet the man of your dreams and get swept off your feet, you don't have to have a one-night stand with a creep, you know, just to fulfill a desire to have a baby. Like, you can be a single mom and you can do it right. Solely do it on your own.
That's
awesome.
Struggling with those stereotypes at the moment because I'm so progressive a lot of the time. But I grew up in a real... traditional home, you know, real traditional. And no, my mum and dad aren't together, but I mean, just in terms of my family, we were kind of lower to middle class Aussies, you know, cousins, barbecue, you know, real traditional, everything you can kind of almost stereotype, you know. And so I was, you know, my dad cooked and stuff, but my mum kind of stayed at home with us, and a lot of the area that I grew up in are still, they're quite traditional. Even now, some of my friends are still quite traditional, doing similar things to what I grew up around. I'm just so different to that. I really struggle with the two. I really struggle. It's that nurture nature debate. I struggle with what I was presented with as what I should do in life and who I feel like I really am. And I constantly battle that. So,
see, that's so interesting, Stace, because I think a lot of my fear about having kids is because my upbringing was so opposite to traditional, you know, like I was born.
Oh my God, Dan, we have a difference.
I know. Totally,
yeah,
you know,
first
like,
time
my mom
ever.
Had me when she was 18. I didn't meet my biological dad till I was 20. You know, like I have an adoptive dad and my parents went together for most of my life. And even though they're amazing people and I've been surrounded my whole life with so much love, like I have had so much love in my life and so much support, but there's still parts of me that goes, God, what if I don't know how to do this properly? Like, what if I don't know how to bring up a good, stable, secure...
But honestly, does anybody
know
how to
do
it
properly
who hasn't done it before? I don't think you do. You just bloody, you know, you just trek on through and hope you're doing the best.
That's it. I just got to the crux of it. I think that's it right there.
It's your shit, mate.
Yeah.
You're overthinking it.
It's my shit and it's my fear of not being able to bring up an amazing human being. I'm getting really emotional.
I think it's also your fear of you were different, you know, and not knowing if that means therefore you don't know how to do it, because who knows how to do it? And no one, you know, we are all sitting here talking, doing the same job, you know, living kind of similar lives, and we all come from very different backgrounds. So you just don't know, you know, there's no childhood or raise, how you were raised necessarily means that you turn out to be a certain person. We all come from really different things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh my God. That kind of felt good to get that out. It was quite full on.
You will be the best mum.
You really would be. You'd be the fun mum.
But you'd be so full of like love and light and, you know, I'm getting bullied. Well, let's just give compassion to the kid and let's do this. It'll be beautiful.
I would love to be that mum. I would love to.
You would be that mum. You would be that mum.
It's been emotional.
All right.
Ooh, ladies, thank you.
Ooh, ladies. Hot in here.
Let's lighten things up. I want to talk makeup.
Okay.
All right.
Old maid will need some foundation to bloody cover up her bloody tears.
Well, I mean, this started, and obviously we all do the same job in the sense that we all work in breakfast radio, so we all work very early hours and we are up early in the morning. And often what that means is that the rest of the radio station and the sales team and the managers are not in when we get here. So when I first started, with those hours, you know, what I don't know what time you girls get up, but for me the alarm goes off at 4:30. I used to get up in the morning and I'd have a shower and then I'd brush my hair and
that's
I'd
phenomenal.
Put on makeup. Hey?
That's phenomenal. Shower.
Yeah, I did it. Honestly, I still have a shower, by the way. Yeah, but I would do that of a morning because the shower woke me up and I didn't feel comfortable without makeup, and it was just such a normal thing to do that regardless of the fact that I was getting up 4 hours earlier or 3 hours earlier than I normally would, it was just like you get up, you put whack a bit of bronzer, and I don't wear a lot of makeup, but you just put a bit of bronzer on, maybe cover up over a couple of blemishes and mascara and you're ready to go. It's only, I don't know, probably in the last 12 months
that when I go back home to Melbourne, and often I'll be driving back home straight from work, and I don't wear makeup to work anymore for the fact of how early it is. Often I'll bring my makeup case into work, and I will never even put it on anymore, because I got to the point where I was like, well, everyone around work has seen me without makeup once. The gig's up. Everyone knows what I really look like, so I don't have to wear it again. And there will be days when I just feel like I want to wear it and I'll feel good, you know, or just want to put it on. And there'll be days that I don't give a shit and I won't worry about it. But it really hurt me when I went home recently and Mum said, and she wasn't being nasty or anything like that, but she just said, geez, you look so different without makeup. And, yeah, and I just said...
Mum.
I said, what do you mean? What do you mean, Mum?
She goes, oh, maybe she shouldn't have had a kid.
you just look different. And I thought about it, and then I felt like I had to defend myself, and I said...
I would be like, Mum, you made this face, so shut up.
No, I've just been on the road for 4.5 hours and I'm tired and I've been driving and I've been up since 4:30 and it's a Friday when you get up, you know, and you're working early hours and, you know, and I don't normally, you know, wear makeup to work and no one else says anything. And then I thought, hang on, why do I have to justify the fact that I'm not wearing makeup? And, you know, sometimes those comments around work like, geez, you look tired today. I get that a lot because I think... I'm always a mascara girl, and I think I wore mascara every single day of my life since like year 8 or 9, that when one day when I didn't wear it, people would think that I was sick because I looked really like just under the weather.
I hate that. Like at work, I hate it when, because I'm in the same boat as you, Christy, like doing breakfast radio, any beauty regime's gone out the window. Like I used to consider myself quite a stylish dresser. No longer.
Like, oh my God. Sometimes I'm like, what the fuck?
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What am I wearing?
I'm embarrassed. Same. I'm like, you are doing the breakfast show at this radio station. If you could see what a clown you look
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I'm like, shame on yourself, Mole. Shame on yourself.
But the worst thing is, Christy, like, just quickly, like, I hate it now when I do get dressed up and put a bit of makeup on. Everyone's like, ooh, look at
ooh, what's good. Going on? You've got a special day today.
I know.
What about this? I had
a photo shoot the other day and had to put makeup on after the show and then go out to the photo shoot. Then I had a farewell lunch for the girls at work and I get to the table and they were like, oh my God, Stacey, look at your eyes. You've got these beautiful green eyes. I'm like, yeah, they've been in my fucking head for 12 months that you've known me. Like, are you joking me? They're the same eyes.
Problem, right? And I know.
Like,
this ugly duckling.
They were looking at me like I'd come out.
Like, fuck.
Like, I'd come out and, like, I'd just had a bloody extreme makeover. Like, that's what they were looking at me like.
But they're not being nasty about that. They're trying to give you a compliment.
Oh, and I felt it was still lovely. I took it, but I was like... It's
but when
just
somebody
funny.
Says you look great, I don't know, and it's probably my own. I'm not insecure about it, but you know, that second guessing yourself where you think, oh well, what are you trying to say that I look shit ass, you know, every other day because I don't normally wear makeup.
No, but Chrissy, I know I do, so I don't bother.
Breakfast radio turned me into the ugliest.
Yeah, I just know that I look like shit. So if someone says I'm like look good, I'm like, yeah, I know because I put a fucking bit of effort in, mate.
Yeah. See, the thing is, right, you know, and it's only quite recent that I've really let it go. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think I'm just okay with it now. Like, you know what we'll do sometimes with our, you know, websites or with the shows that we do, having a photo taken, not a photo shoot, but just like a shot in the studio of a guest you interviewed, and yeah, it goes up on Facebook, whatever. I used to have the makeup there just in case I needed to put it on, or just in case somebody important came in. And recently we had someone come in and they took a photo and put it on Facebook. And it was the most shocking photo. It was this week. It's still up there. And the lights, like the downlight was shining on my head. Like it was terrible. And I look like a skeleton. Like my face is all white.
I saw that photo. I know what photo you're talking about. But I only laugh because you know,
really
because
bad.
The light is right on your face, mate. Like give yourself a break. You've got like, it looks like you've just been interrogated by the police.
See,
you've got a spotlight on your face.
Yet. But you know what the thing was? When I saw that photo, I said, I knew we had to really put it up because I knew it was going to, you know, people wanted to see it and it was going to do well on our page. I just thought, I'm going to have to do it. I'm taking one for the team. And although I hated that photo of myself, I was okay with putting it up. And I thought back to 6 months ago, there's no way I would have done that.
See, good
just,
for you.
I lied.
I actually, to
lied.
Be honest with you, I look at it as work. So I think that's great that you do that. But if a photo's about to go up of me on Facebook, I will quickly put mascara on and some lip balm and then Elliot can take the photo.
Okay.
I'm going to say something. This might be a little bit controversial and I'm all for accepting what your face looks like and wearing no makeup and stuff. But you know what? I'm okay with a bit of makeup. Like, I don't see it as, like, a negative thing or anything.
No, I kind of see it as work too. Our jobs are so image-focused. I don't think that's the right thing, but I don't know how much we can change. If I really can't be effed, I won't, but I know I'll feel better if I put a photo up and I put it on.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, I've started doing this thing now where I'll just put tinted moisturiser on.
I use a BB cream in the morning. And I put my eyebrows on and I put a bit of bronzer on. I don't put mascara on because I still rub my eyes because I'm that tired. So
yeah,
I don't do that.
I like it.
I have a bit of a base.
I do it in the studio and I feel like it makes me, I mean, it gives me a bit of a perk in my step. And I think it's positive.
Well,
like,
I do it.
The days that I can't be bothered, I can't be bothered.
I do it, Christy, because I actually try and keep my headspace at my job as if it's a job like everyone else. And it just so happens that we work earlier, but that doesn't mean I want to change everything. Like I want to kind of, I wouldn't. So when I was working at Nova in Melbourne, I was starting at 10 and I'd card in with heels and like a proper outfit because everyone was like that in the studio. I don't want to lose too much of that because not only is that, I still want it to feel like my job. So I'm awake when I get to work and I'm kind of conscious, but I also want, I love that part of myself. I love fashion and dressing up and doing that. So
I do too, but in that, but at that time of the morning.
But I lay my clothes out the night before. Do you?
I don't know why.
It's not that bloody hard.
Nah, every night before I go to sleep, I lay my clothes out. Everything. Knickers. Jewelry, it's all out, ready to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I need to start doing that.
Yep.
It's not that hard to do. I don't know why I don't do it.
It's not. And you know what? Because then I don't, oh, God, I couldn't do it in the morning. No way.
Do you shower in the morning?
Nah.
Some days, like something.
I never do.
Everything changes. I'm not a methodical, like I'm not a, my life, yeah, I'm just different every day. I brush my teeth in there, so then it's not wasting time.
Okay, mate, we're moving on.
Just in case you wanted to know, that's all.
I brush my teeth in there, okay? You sounded like such a young mate then.
Yeah, I shave my teeth sometimes too.
I'm delirious, balls.
What are you talking about again? Best friends,
besties, hashtag BFF, besties, biffles.
It's Ruffle the Mayo.
Do you know what Buffles is?
No, it's
best friends for life.
Oh, Jesus. Do you have a best friend?
Ooh, right up. You're going to hit me where it hurts.
Yeah, I reckon you've got a ton of, you're like a best friend whore.
I am a massive best friend whore. And this is what I want to talk about. Not so much now at the age of 30, but I've been a best friend obsession person since I can remember. I've had a best friend probably since grade 2. And
it was power in primary school.
I actually recall sitting at the bottom of Mrs. Deeming's feet in grade two and remember sitting in the front row because I massaged her feet when she sat there.
Oh,
and I was
what?
Like,
oh. Were you seriously that girl?
Yeah, I told you I was a real weirdo teacher's pet until about year eight. Anyway, I would, but I still had best friends. I still had best friends. So I would put my hand, like I'm sitting really, really straight up, right at the front
I
of her feet, right?
You all
and
of
then
sudden.
My hand is next to where I'm sitting. Like tap, 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 tap. And then someone goes to sit and I'm like, no, no. Alan's sitting there. And I, and then, you know, someone would move, move, move. No, no, no. Alan's sitting here. You know, I was that person.
I hate you right now because in primary school, I always wanted a best friend and I never, ever had one.
Oh.
Like I had little.
You should have found me.
I would have had your back. Like I had my friends that I hung out with, but like I always wanted to be part of the cool group. There was two girls that were best friends. They were called Michelle and Michelle. So although I had other best friends, I never recognised my poor other best friends because I just always wanted to...
They became so strategic with me that I had a best friend in high school and had a secret best friend and we couldn't... I made her say to people that we weren't allowed to tell people we were best friends. Guess who is my best friend now?
Who? Your secret best friend.
My secret best friend.
What? And why?
Hang on. Why did it have to be secret? Was she a backup plan in case the other chick fell through?
No, she was definitely not a backup plan, but I don't know. I just felt like I had to be best friends with this other person. And then
Was the other person more popular?
Yes. Yep.
But you.
So I was strategic.
You connected.
So you were. I told you were strategic.
At the age of 12.
Did she know that? So she knew she kept it a secret for you. So she obviously loved you as well.
We loved each other and we still do love each other. And she is my best friend. Like I was.
That's a good friend. Someone that will be okay with being secret. Like that is loyalty right there.
And I hope over the years I have returned the loyalty to her. I certainly don't think I was doing it as a 12-year-old insecure little messed up girl. I definitely was very, very insecure in high school.
But would you agree with me that in primary school and high school and stuff, having a best friend was like it's power. Like if
well,
you've
for
got
me,
that, like,
I had no stability. I didn't have a lot of stability in high school, so I turned to my best friends a lot, and I still do. My friends are my family. Like I imagine one day I'll have Christmas at my house, and there'll be family there, but I'll also have hopefully invite. You know, for dinner, all of my best mates too, because it's just so important for me.
Did you guys have? Did you have groups of friends, Stacey? Did you have a group of girlfriends?
I do have a group of
the best.
I do have a group of girlfriends. I've always had so many good mates. So I've always had a few best mates on the go. I probably would have almost a handful of best mates now. I don't know, but that particular one is probably Chief. And she was the secret in grade 12. But it just is interesting, the insecurities. For now, it's like just I have different common interests with different friends. And so they're all kind of level from that perspective because we just have different things that I do with them. One in particular is like a bit more of a work one and another's you go to that person. So it's not necessarily that you take and leave bits and pieces, but I wouldn't put anyone in front of anyone, you know, and I've
Do you know what that reminds me of? Remember MySpace? And you'd have your top 10 friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would change weekly.
You would have gone to town on that.
Oh, I did. I loved it. I was obsessed with it. And it was like I could control people like they could know where they stood with me. How awful. But now I've...
Are you bully at all at any stage? This is an open forum here.
No. I didn't bully anyone. I just... This is all my shit. Do you know what I mean? Like I never made people, I hope I never made people feel, you know, better or worse than the other. This is all my own crap. Do you know what I mean? Like I need to have someone for myself next to me.
Yeah.
That's not actually about making someone feel shit over someone else. Yeah. It's never been about that. But at the same time, you know, like high school, it was pretty different. Now it's just my mates. So, and obviously I'm closer with some than I am with others.
And now you've got me and Christy. We're your new two.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Yeah. Like you guys, I speak to you about everything. So I've got like heaps. But it's just, I just found it interesting my obsession with it when I was younger because I was talking to a girlfriend about it. She was like, I was exactly the same and I still am. And I am one to throw around the bestie term a lot. And I think that that is because I've always been a little bit clingy to it because it does make me feel comfortable in life that I've got a few besties.
That's a really normal thing though. I definitely know that I have best friends, although I do have a big group of girlfriends from, you know, some from primary school, some from high school and from other places and whatever. Mm. There are some that you would give that title and not others, but I think that title of best friends was a lot more powerful in high school.
I still take it pretty seriously. Like, I have a friend that's one of my best mates that I didn't go to high school with, and before I kind of really would call, you know, him a best mate, and like you guys know who I'm talking about, one of my besties. I really thought about that. Like, I actually consciously thought about it. How weird is that?
I know that in high school there was a girl that I considered my best friend, but there was a girl that she had been friends with longer back from like kindergarten, and she would always make that quite clear that she already had a best friend. stake that claim as if, sorry, babes, I've already taken, you know, that when that friend would get jealous, that the best friend term would get dropped around me quite a bit. And I remember when we used to do this and, you know, we've got this big history together because I'd only kind of just become friends with this group of people, that title, I mean, it does hold a lot of power and it can or exclude a lot of people when you throw it around.
And when you ask me...
I was telling you guys about Michelle and Michelle in primary school. Like, I just wanted to be best friends too. And they're like, nah, your name's not Michelle. You can't be our best friend.
Your name doesn't rhyme with ours.
No, it was really sad. Hey, just quickly, do you guys have a celebrity female that you want, that you just know you'd be best friends?
Oh, God, okay.
I used to have a best friend crush on Megan Gale. I'm a bit over her now.
No way!
Really?
That's such a vanity, disgusting best friend crush.
She'd be the hotter friend, though. Oh, obviously, she would be the hot one.
Yeah, but what I would go for personality as opposed to that.
No, but I used to see her as a bit feisty. This is why I say now it's changed. But when she first started, she was the underdog. Like, she was the brunette that had to go to Italy to make it.
You have overthought this. Hey, I've got enough of my own best mates to not fantasize over celebrities as my best mates.
I've never watched a celeb and gone,
I think of my girlfriends and I think about
Ritchie, who would not want to be
her. Oh my God. And I fantasize about my girlfriends and I becoming celebrities and then everyone talking about us because we're all the famous friends.
I've always had an obsession to be in the confidential pages in the Herald Sun.
Oh, God, where the fuck did that come from, Christy?
Because you said about being famous. And I said, I've always
you want to be best friends with Luke Dennehy.
I'll hit him up on Twitter.
Hey, if you want to be in Confidential, Melbourne Confidential, you need to know who Luke Dennehy is.
I'll hit him up on Twitter.
Who he is. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you said, did you say you don't know who he is, Danny?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're not from Victoria. Yeah, that's
talking about Luke.
I thought Christy didn't know who it was. I'm like, mate, frickin' step by step. That's the first thing you need to know.
I've been on this quest for quite some time.
I'm so disappointed that you guys don't have a celebrity person you want to be best friends with.
Mate, that I think about everything, and that is actually something I haven't thought of.
I'm so shocked by that.
I can't.
Think of someone off the top of your head.
I just want to be best mates with my own mates. I really love my mates. I fucking love my mates.
Everything for me.
Soz, pants. Hey, shit. I'd love to be best mates with that CFM chick from Gosford.
Oh, she's Danny. I hear she's awesome.
She's cool. No Megan Gale, though.
Especially not at 5 in the morning.
With no makeup on. Oh, no, sorry. Tinted moisturizer. All right, we're out. It's been reals. With a Z. Hashtag BFF forever.
Forever, ever, forever,
Cindy
ever.
Girl,
okay, if you want to continue any of this conversation or put your own feedback and get amongst it, our Facebook page is facebook.com/thinkergirls. See you next week.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.